Welcome to the Ether. Today is Sunday, May 8th, 2022. Today on the Ether, HGTP Mainnet 2.0 rollout, the FAQ with DAG nodes and Dagnum PI. Let's take a listen.
What up? We'll just let it fill up a little bit. I was going to start it a little bit earlier than 10. Oh, bum, 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 bum. All right. Yeah, I sent you a request. The co-hostness.
Howdy.
Oh yeah, what's a crack-a-lackin'? Yeah, I don't know if you caught what I was saying earlier. I was planning on like going live a little bit earlier than like a minute before 10, but you know, I had some shit going on that I couldn't really start.
Yeah, I was on a phone call myself. Just talking about DAG, ironically. You get a DAG, and you get a DAG, and you get a DAG.
Everybody gets a DAG.
We got Seth B up in this house.
Oh, Seth B is here? Okay, hold on. I'm just spamming the Telegram like poor Richard.
I was going to say, you're pulling a PR.
Okay, there's Seth. Right. Maybe we'll just I don't know how many people we got in here. Seth, I sent you an invite. As the co-hostness.
Come on, Seth.
This is being recorded. There he is.
What's up?
Yo, what up? And then Eli up in this bitch.
I love Eli.
I don't know if you guys want to just chit chat for a little bit, let it fill up. I mean, we've only been live for like a minute. Might be worth. I mean, it is being recorded, but I still see that people are filling in. Like at least 10 people have joined since.
Yeah, I say we give it another minute or five.
What's the weather like in AZ?
Oh man, it hit 102 yesterday.
Oh snap.
But you know what? I will say this, like I'm definitely becoming one of those people where it's like, you know, acclimated to the weather. I'm like, you know what? It's really not that bad. I was out at a farmer's market. I was like directly in the sun. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, you know, it's warm, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, it's 102 and the world is ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. You get a little back sweat, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But it's not bad. How about you? Oh, you're over. You're not too far.
Yeah, no, it's kind of chilly here, which, I mean, it's fine. I don't care. Which is nice. It doesn't actually get too hot in the Bay Area. I'm pretty close to the Bay itself, so that cools off. You go inland a little bit further south from the Bay, like not even that far, like 30 miles, and you have a huge temperature difference. So you know, it doesn't take very much for it to start getting pretty hot here.
Have you ever been to what's it called? What is it? Hell's Valley? That's not it.
Death Valley. Yeah. So Death Valley is actually pretty. I've never been in the summertime. I don't know why you would want to go in the summertime because it looks the same as it does in the winter because there's not really much there. But it's really pretty, man. like all the different rock formations. They've got all these different like spots where some of the rocks are like different colors, and then you've got spots where there's like dunes, and then the stars at night. It's pretty wild. I recommend everybody going at least once, but no, don't go in the summertime.
Yeah, I think it hit like 130 or more last summer in Death Valley, which is which is comical hot. that's just hilarious.
I'm looking, sorry to interrupt, but am I just seeing shit? Eli didn't always have a verified account, did he?
Oh, I don't know. Is the homie verified now?
Dude, he's verified now. That's
are those that's official verified? Eli, give us the deets on the verification. Is that just an emoji?
Is that just an emoji? All right. Yeah, we'll get Eli up in here. But just to let everybody know, we will maybe open the space up for questions and stuff at the end, but we're just going to keep it now to just going over what's going on. But anyway, so Eli, yeah, you didn't always have a verified, did you? I'm not smoking crack, am I?
Yeah, you're definitely smoking crack. No, I'm just kidding. I actually, dude, so my agent actually helped me out for it. You just got to go through a process through Twitter, and then you get the check mark. I was really about to go through the whole emoji joke, but I knew it wouldn't really last long.
You know it's also not lasting long? How awful your audio is.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like you've got the mic, like, all the way down your mouth.
I know where it is. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you're either underwater or you've got it like so far in your mouth. don't eat the mic, bro. All right. Hey. Oh, and also before we get officially kicked off, I see now we've got quite a few more people. Everybody, please retweet the space. Most of the people in here are pretty familiar with DAG and the hypergraph, but as these spaces become super popular, it's a way for everybody on Twitter to learn about what we've got going on Constellation. So please retweet the space. And I guess I'll get started. Some of this, I guess, came off about a couple of days ago when I put out that poll, and I intentionally posed it as a question, leading up and setting up, the major differences that this protocol has versus some other nodes as a service. Clearly in the tokenomics, and first off, I'm kind of disappointed with some of the people in the community that still haven't gone through the tokenomics paper, because it's clearly stated in the tokenomics paper that once the whitelist is removed, anybody with collateral is going to have collateral. But then that sort of got this whole thing going that I was kind of leading up to anyway. Several weeks ago, some of you may noticed when I put out a tweet saying, it's great to see everybody so excited about the mainnet. However, just to let everybody be on the know that when we go live with mainnet 2.0, not all the features and functions are going to be live. And I think it needs to be heavily stated, how monumental the change is going to be moving over to this new Genesis block, right? It is such a huge undertaking. And we want to make sure that we get it right, because as we've seen with some other networks that are just quick to get out there and haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, mean, once you already release the product, you can't take it back, right? So you just want to make sure that everything goes out in a systematic order, because all it takes is one little thing that you may have overlooked, and that sort of messes up everything. So the way that it's going to go down, and there hasn't been, that's why we have sort of stayed away from dates, right? But the way that everything is going to go down is when we make the switch to the new Genesis block, there's going to be a pause everywhere. So like Stargazer, you're not going to be able to send transactions. You won't be able to send transactions on any exchanges because we're moving over to a new block. Then once we're back up and we're, bam, mainnet 2.0, we're going to have this foundation that everything that we've talked about is going to be built upon, right? It's the foundational layer to where these things can be deployed, where the state channels can be deployed. But since it's a whole new system, we have to manage and monitor the network, right? And some people have noticed, and part of the integration, right, with mainnet 2.0, one of the things that is going to allow us to talk to these other systems that some people may have seen in Telegram is, this new Rosetta, right? And that's going to allow us to integrate with basically any exchange or like other blocks, right? So the first thing that we're going to do is deploy the foundational layer. Okay. And testnet 2.0 is a thing. It is going to continue to be a thing, right? And that's one of the great things about us versus, I will call somebody out, Ethereum, right? This is why it takes Ethereum forever to deploy anything, right? Because it takes them a billion years to all come to consensus. But with this network, we can rapidly make changes and deploy them on the system when it's ready. And so currently the 200 or so testnet operators are going to be working out everything in parallel with the current 100 foundational nodes, right? Because you want to make sure that you have a stable network the entire time. Now, what does that mean for everybody else, right? Because you see all this questions of like, well, you know, I've got collateral, right? So we're staking. We've been staking since November. So anybody that had DAG collateral, you get the rewards. And right now the rewards are pretty close to what a foundational node is getting. And that is going to continue to be happening. That isn't changing. We're not taking away those rewards. So you will still be able to get rewards the entire time. The cool thing about the staking system is once we turn on other features, like, once we have other layer zero tokens other than DAG, because currently DAG is the only layer zero token. But once we have other layer zero tokens like Alchemy, Jam, Fan, Double Dice, and whatnot, we'll be able to reward stakers with those. So, yeah, if Mr. Digital's here, he's got some insight because he happens to be building something on the network. And so he is pretty familiar with how the process is going to go.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mr. Digital, also known as, in my former life, I went by the name Eric, but now it's just Mr. Digital. All jokes aside, first of all, everything Dagnum just said is 100% correct. And I think the thing that I would personally, like, if there was one thing, okay, like, I wish everyone knew this one thing. This isn't like, you know, you flip a switch, all of a sudden everyone's onboarded, and then people are just raking in rewards from all these different places. You know, you have to realize there's what, roughly over 5,000 potential node operators, or potential nodes rather, that are ready to be launched into the network. And to Dagnam's point regards to the whitelist, we need to, and this is what everyone needs to understand. First of all, everything is working. Everything is happening the way it needs to happen. This is a slow technical process. A lot of security is involved. We're making sure that everything is done the right way in order to make sure that this happens correctly. And with that means that the most important thing that I want every single, if you really care about DAG and you care about your bag and you really want this to be the future and you want this to work, you have to have patience, because the most important thing here is going to be the stability of the network. That's why this is happening in phases. You need to make sure that at different phases of rollout or intervals of upgrades, that the network is maintaining stability and everything's working correctly. The number one thing we want to avoid is an issue with Solana, which seems to have business hours and is closed on holidays. So that's a joke, but it's not. What we really want to make sure is that we don't rush through. And I say we collectively, because we're all here. Now, obviously, I'm not the one working on mainnet, to be very clear. But we collectively as a community, if we want this to be successful, we have to kind of put aside for a moment our own desire to immediately start earning rewards, which, I'm sorry, mainnet rewards. You will still be receiving soft node rewards perpetually while this is going out. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost 100% positive that that is true. So there's no rush to get over to mainnet. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to feel like you're missing anything out. It's going to happen in stages. The network wants you to run a node, right? We want it to be more decentralized, more distributed, have more, you know, a variety of node operators in different places. But it doesn't make sense. Think about it. If there's like two state channels on the network and 5,000 node operators, that's like, where are you earning those rewards from? You know, it's like you have to wait for the demand to reach a certain level in order for it to even, I believe, be desirable to get on mainnet right away. I mean, you're better off just relaxing, let the technical process work, let the build out and the phase rollout happen, make sure that we reach stability, earn your soft staking rewards. You don't need to get all concerned or feel like you're missing out on anything. Just relax. Like I said, if you really care about this community, you care about your bags, you care about the network, then this is happening the way it needs to happen. And I think that's the thing that I most want to communicate, is that everything is fine. No one needs to panic. Initially, yes, there will be a whitelist in order to work with those node operators in order to ensure, like I said, the stability of the network. And that will be removed. And eventually, yes, every single person who has the collateral will be able to run a node as written in the tokenomics paper. So I think my biggest takeaway point here is just to relax. The team's working very, very hard. There's a lot of people involved in this process. I would gather to say it's not a very simple one. And we're all here working together and hard to make everything work. And that those would be my two cents on the whole matter.
Yeah. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, Seth, but yeah, I mean, believe me, nobody probably more than me wants this network to get up and running. Okay. Like, we're all here waiting, and you know, this thing needs to be successful. And in order to do that, you need a systematic approach. You can't just, you know, break down the dam.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much to add, to be honest. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. But I mean, ultimately, you know, it comes down to, you know, as Dagnum and Mr. Digital explain, like, you wouldn't want just this 10,000 nodes or whatever, right, running on the network when there's no traffic going through it, because the whole idea is that the rewards are proportional, you know, to the amount of traffic, right, that's going through the network. That's the whole concept of the generative economics. So really what you'd want is more, you know, the more state channels, the more opportunity to both get rewarded at the layer zero layer, right, from, you know, from the global validator rewards, as well as directly from state channel rewards. So that's kind of the whole idea behind the network, right? So as it's horizontally scaling out, so do rewards, essentially. Probably the easiest way to understand it.
Right. And it's important for people to realize that once we switch over to the new Genesis block, that that essentially is like a new network. So you want to make sure that that network is stable before you go on to the next step. So on day one, there's like on the very first day, there's not going to be state channels live, right? We want to make sure that that, like I said in the very from the beginning, is that foundational layer is stable and everything is working. The nodes are interacting with the, you know, 2.0, right? And the custom consensus, right? And then from there, we will ramp up. And that's one of the beauties of having the testnet nodes, because you have this separate sandbox running in parallel, testing out state channels, testing out L0 tokens and whatnot. And as things progress, we'll just add features. But it's not. But it's not going to be like Ethereum, where it takes, you know, 50 years to come to consensus about, you know, should they add this or should they turn this on?
Yeah, to get an EIP moving forward with them. And meanwhile, everyone's profiting off the broken system.
Right.
Like, and we have the inverse. Like, you people want this to work so that they can actually get the rewards we're all really excited about, which is a little backwards from Ethereum's case, which is one of the reasons why it will move forward faster.
Right. And then the other thing that I kind of wanted to highlight, and I talked about it a little bit in a tweet about, you know, our reward structure, right, is, you know, people have to realize that the tokenomics of DAG is completely different than some of these Ponzi-nomic nodes as a service, like, you know, promising, you know, 2000% APY. Like, that's just not even sustainable. Right. And there's just no way that is even going to happen. You know, people, again, need to realize that part of the tokenomics of this network is each state channel is essentially like its own blockchain, having its own liquidity pool. And that's where the majority of the rewards are going to come from. Now, since this is, you know, our proof of reputable observation model is different than most other consensus mechanisms, you know, not all rewards are going to get, you know, the same return. Because, like in my little analogy about a house, you know, you don't have the lights on in your house 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You just don't. It's dumb and it's not even efficient. And then even at night, you don't have all the lights on, you know, all the TVs on in every single room. You don't. And you don't have them on all night. So each node is going to be rewarded differently. And each state channel is going to offer different rewards than other state channels. But that's the beauty of this network,
because you have your collateral, you own it the entire time. You're free to do whatever it is you want to do with your collateral. So if you're parking it in the lattice state channel, and you look over and you see that GeoJam is giving better returns and there's less nodes there, then you just take your DAG and move it over to GeoJam. And there's no, you know, or if you wanted for whatever reason to just cash it all out, you can cash it all out. I mean, you own your bags the entire time, not the network.
Yeah, I guess just to expand, I think the whole expectation like of these crazy 1,000 percentile returns and stuff that have kind of been established due to these other node as a service projects are just, if you think about it, what is that, right? Like 1,000% on what? On, you know, like the whole point here is that there's actual intrinsic value like within these tokens, right? So that the token itself will increase in value and you're not just trying to chase some huge percentage, right?
That is a very important thing that you just said. 1,000% of what? Because I know, and this is kind of where that same model I've seen in the NFT worlds on other platforms where it's like, we have 1,000% APY. It's like, yo, that is just economically not sustainable. That's not built to last. It's not built to work for long. And also, you know, I see that as being a major red flag for a number of different reasons, but I'd rather have lower APY, but in a token that accrues greater value. That's the big benefit there.
Exactly. That's exactly how I see it too.
Yeah. So, honestly, I think that with everything that has been said today, I really don't think there's much more to say about it, quite honestly. You know, it's just, it's going to be a process. And I think, you know, the team is working very hard. You know, we've had many conversations with them and know that I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed.
I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed with how it's going to roll out, because you know, removing the foundational nodes out of the equation, right? Just looking at the fact that and you know, we're probably going to onboard more testnet nodes, right? At a later date. But even with that aside, right? So let's just take those two things out of the equation. The staking is still going to happen. And the staking is coming out of the same original pool that was set aside for the foundational nodes. So everybody is getting rewards and everybody will continue to get rewards as we go through the process. So nobody is getting left out at all, period.
Yeah. We're set, y'all. We just got
we got Node Army in the house. I'm gonna invite him up if Tim wants to and he did request as I yeah, Tim, I sent you let me see if I don't know if it messes it up or whatever, because I sent you a request.
Great, yes, got it. Fabulous. Great to see you guys on here, and Eric as well. Thank you.
Hey, Tim.
Just going to mention, for those that don't know, when people purchase their 250,000 DAG to stake a node, those DAG tokens do not contribute to the rewards. That is what's different from many node programs out there. Well, I say node in inverted commas. They are pyramid schemes, as many of us know. Not saying that there's anything wrong with getting involved in one of those, as long as you get out at the right time. But the 250,000 DAG that is required to go into a wallet in order to have a node appropriately staked on the network to earn rewards those tokens remain yours. They are not going into some node reward pool that then cascades down to people who've previously staked their node and so on. It's not the node Ponzinomics that you see on some other projects. The tokens that you stake are your tokens, and the rewards that you earn are reward tokens. That's just what I wanted to add on that, Dagnam. Sorry to interrupt.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, before you joined, where, you know, your tokens are your tokens the entire time. You're free to do with them whatever you want. You can move them to another state channel, you can take out the rewards, or if you wanted to, you can completely exit out of the network at any time. I mean, at any time. So yeah, that's one of the major advantages with this network versus other nodes as a service, is you have full custody the entire time. I see Bob up in here. Maybe Bob wants to talk. And if anybody has any questions, feel free. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job of covering how things are going to go out and what's to be expected. But if anybody has any questions that maybe we didn't cover, feel free to request. We will do our best to answer anything. But I think everyone's going to be pretty happy with the way things are going to roll out, especially once we have other things to offer, you know, when we've got those layer zero tokens.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. I mean, I think the whole thing is being built for success. And this is, you know, this is not just we're like world building here. I mean, we're building a whole new economy, truly. I mean, this is a whole new economy that we're building here on this network, and it does take time. And I think that, a little bit of patience here goes a mighty long way as we go through the rollout of these different phases.
Yeah. I mean, and it's and anybody that thinks that we're not going to do a crazy amount of growth from right where we're at here today is crazy, because so I was going to make a tweet about this a little bit later, but I'll just talk about it now. Like the proof of where we're going is, all you have to do is look at Phantom, right? Last year, Phantom was like, last summer, I think they were like 15 cents. And then in December, they were like three, almost $4. And two of the major factors that caused Phantom to go up like that were, one, somebody was saying that they were going to have this NFT integration, right? We're going to have the same shit, but it's going to be even better, right? And when people figure that out, this network is going to explode. The other major contributing factor that caused Phantom's, massive growth to almost $4 is the compatibility with the Ethereum virtual machine. And it's okay. Hello. Hello. Like layer zero, like any developer, any smart contract developer can just port over whatever they are doing with the Ethereum virtual machine onto this network. And once that clicks for people, yeah, we are absolutely going to $3 or $4.
I'm salivating. I'm ready. I'm ready. There's a lot of good work to be done, and we've got a lot of really phenomenal people here, like Node Army here, building some really amazing and important stuff for the network as a whole. So we're also very fortunate, I think, with the types of people that are in our ecosystem as well across the board.
Yeah, we got Prof in here building the internet tool. Come on, why am I having a brain fart right now?
Techware, bro.
Techware.
Holy moly.
It was a glitch. I'm all dagged out. And we got Mark V in here.
We got some more questions, I think.
Oh, do we?
I think we do.
Nothing is popping up on my screen, but yeah, if anybody has, if anybody wants to come up and speak, just hit that button.
Really, you don't have any requests? Oh, we got one. We got a Phil, I think Phil, right?
Yeah, Phil.
What's up, man?
Yeah, exactly. Great space so far. And my question is related to the first state channels that maybe go live. So, do you expect it in some kind that there will be, let's say, 5 or 10 state channels, and everybody who wants to stake their collateral or dedicated to a state channel will rush on this state channels, or will there be some kind of diversification between, let's say, the validator nodes, state channels, and something other, soft node staking?
So once, like I said, it's going to be a phased release. We're going to slowly add on things, but at some point, right, the whitelist will be removed, and anybody that has the collateral will be able to run a node. Absolutely. But first and foremost, stability of the network is paramount. I mean, you just look at Solana as a perfect example, or even Cardano. And I think there's a couple other networks that had major network issues. I mean, there's if the network breaks, right, or if there's a glitch, I mean, there's no, what would be the point in adding all these nodes?
Yeah, right? Like, where are the rewards going to come from?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you need the nodes to meet the demand instead of the demand to meet the nodes.
Yeah. Yeah, but like we were saying earlier, right? So right now we have right around 100 foundational nodes. Well, actually, I think we have a little bit less than that because some got kicked off the network because they didn't keep the collateral. Close to 100 foundational nodes, right? But when we make the switch to the new Genesis, like we've talked about earlier, everybody's getting rewards, and everybody's getting close to the same amount of rewards. So the staking people, and so this is the other advantage too, which I don't really see quite often in Telegram or on Twitter, right? So the rewards that are coming out of this same pool, the staking people get pretty damn close. I think at the end of the day, it's like a 60-40 split, right? But you're not doing anything. You're not actually contributing anything to the network, one, but you're getting close to the same rewards. Two, you're not spending any money for a virtual machine, or you can actually set up your own server if you want it in your house, but then that's extra money. The majority of the people are running like a virtual machine on DigitalOcean or Amazon or Google, and that's an extra expense that it costs every month, right? But the staking people are getting something for nothing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not actually, it's not technically a real node. It's you're being rewarded for basically choosing to support the network at a future date, essentially.
Yeah.
It's actually I'll be quite honest with you, a pretty kind gesture. You're being rewarded for the promise that you'll essentially do something to help support the network in the future.
Yeah. And so, like, looking at the Phantom example, I mean, there's nobody that could seriously convince me. I would love for somebody to try to argue how Phantom can go to $3 and we can't go to $3, right? So let's just use that as an example. I'm going to get Mark V in here also. So we got Phantom at $3, DAG at $3, right? So you're getting these staking rewards that's like 2,000 DAG a month, right? At $3, that's $6,000 a month for doing nothing. Are you kidding me? That's more than the average American income right there. The average American income, I think, is like $50,000 a year. You're making $6,000 a month for doing nothing? Please.
I think we have some more questions in the house. Dang, can you not see the request?
I'm starting to get them up. Yeah, Mark's got his hand up.
Oh, Mark.
Super polite. Mark B. Yeah. Mark.
Hey guys, I just got to say, number one, I haven't been to one of these in a while because I've had so much stuff going on, but it is damn good to hear everybody talk, and it kind of brought a smile to my face that I was able to get here today and just listen to you all and catch up. I have a comment and then a question. My comment is, I want to shout out everybody who is in the testnet program right now, because I know that those people are all working really hard and doing a great job and making this all work out for all of us. I appreciate that. My question is, I guess this isn't twofold. I guess it's a two-part question. Will we ever have a situation where we have like a service level kind of thing? For example, you know, for Alchemy Exchange, let's say in December, you know, end of November, into December, near Christmas time, you're probably going to see an uptick in ads online. So you're probably going to need more bandwidth at that point. Would we ever have a situation where we would know that or see that? And additionally, would we ever contract out our nodes for that time period? Because if you think about it, so in the middle of December, let's say that ads needs a ton of bandwidth, but somebody says, you know what, I'm just going to point my node elsewhere, and that could potentially damage their business, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've thought about that before. whether or not, I think this is the beauty of being a data, I almost dropped my phone. Oh, I'm still good. I think that's the beauty of being like a datapreneur, or actually being an entrepreneur with your node, right? Where it's like, I think it's possible. I'm not sure what that would look like legally or contractually. I'm sure that's between the node operator, whether or not you actually know them, right? Because that could just be someone in, you know, the other part of the world from you, and they just say, yeah, I'll do that for you. But, you know, I guess there's a lot of like maybe legal or contractual stuff that you would really need to make sure in order to have some type of service agreement, because it is going to be important for a state channel to be able to maintain or have at least a base level of bandwidth that is going to be necessary for their state channel operations. So I think with that being said, it might be, and I say might because I don't want to say, yeah, absolutely, Mark, that's 100% for sure, because I don't know exactly, but I can just see where it would be advantageous to maybe have something like that, because there, like I said, there is going to be a certain level of bandwidth that you as the state channel would either like to have or need to have. So you might want to explore a service agreement of some kind between you and a node operator. And that's when really you do become like a business with your node. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim. I think he had something to say about
that. Yeah, sure. Look, we've anticipated that at Node Army. And our plan is that Node Army will be an incorporated company at one point shortly after Mainnet goes live. And we can then offer, for example, co-nodes that we will be managing on behalf of those people with under 250K. We will then offer those under SLA to enterprises that need to have nodes for their state channels. Also, just while speaking with potential enterprise clients for nodes. We've discussed the various different models. And of course, look, when we have an SLA, we'll make that open source so that people can use a standard template for themselves as individuals. But what we've anticipated speaking with enterprises that would need state channels and need bandwidth is they'll look at seasonality. And they might say to a node operator, look, we would like your node for not a 30-day rolling period, but we'd like to sign up for 12 months. Now we can then give you a guarantee of income for that 12-month period, but we've also then got ourselves as a client the guarantee of a node pointing at our state channel. So it's good for both parties as long as the reward is attractive to both parties. So you might decide that, you know what, if you want to be a surge node, there might be times when you're not deployed. But then when you are deployed, you can readily deploy and you've got a high PRO score perhaps, and you can get really good seasonal rewards as the question just identified, for example, at Christmas time on ads. But you might equally decide, you know what, I'm happy with a lower base level of rewards as long as I know that I've got it for 12 months. Now, equally, if you then have a node that's got guaranteed rewards for 12 months, you could sell your node. Sell your node for the 250,000 DAG plus a premium because it is locked in to a really strong and sound guaranteed 12-month reward contract. And if you're happy building a node and operating it to develop a good PRO score, you could sell your node that is locked into a reward plan, get a premium for the net present value of the future value of those rewards, and rebuild a new node. And then build up the PRS score and do it all over again. So the datapreneur opportunity becomes not just earning, but you can actually then trade your nodes potentially.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's something that I think last summer that some of us even talked about, you know, with the pro score, you know, because it's all going to be weighted differently. And it's and so your node is like your business. And some businesses are going to be managed better than others. And the nodes with the really high pro score are going to be more valuable, not only for each person, but they're also more valuable to state channels. State channels are going to be looking for nodes with the highest pro score. So yeah, I definitely have seen from the very beginning a future where people are going to flip nodes. They're going to buy nodes that have a really low pro score, like even offering somebody like more value, like you know, somebody with a pro score of like 0.25 or something like that, right? And be like, hey man, I'll buy your node for 300,000 DAG. I'll take it off your hands, and then tune it up, and then flip it, and then sell it when it's you know, receiving a 0.9. So yeah, there's going to be opportunities all over the place, Mr. Nodevember. I think you had a question.
Or not.
Yeah, I almost thought that I got rugged. It was like radio silent here. I was like, oh shit, did the room get rugged?
We got Tony up here with a question.
Yeah, Tony. Hey, so Eric, I'm not seeing these pop up. Can you approve those requests?
Yes. I got Tony here. He's connecting and he's good. Hey Tony.
Hey guys. Awesome space. Thanks for having this. My question is around developer community. What insight can you guys give in terms of plans to really build out our developer community specifically, just because, you know, let's face it, we're all so early that we're either early investors or we're a lot of folks are, you know, building on the flight programs. And so, you know, getting a lot of questions from, you know, people that are interested and might be a little bit more on the technical side have questions. You know, early investors might not always be able to answer some of those. And so, you know, having part of that come with also the development of that developer community to be able to like engage publicly and answering some of those questions. What are we going to do in terms of building that out? And I know part of it is obviously like just documentation alone, but any thoughts you guys can share on that?
I think one thing in terms of the dev community, I think the moment more people are like actually building on the network with mainnet 2.0 and people realize that like, oh, this is something I can use, I think that will begin to naturally flourish. In terms of like dev resources and things like that, I know there's a number of people working on services for that. I know Alchemy has the Alchemy Academy. I know Seth and the team are also working on additional documentation. So I think when those things become available, I think what will happen is you'll begin to see more developers that are interested migrate over here. But I think one of the major advantages here is that, you know, it's not like, oh, you have to learn Solidity now. You know, it's like anyone that knows like Java or Scala, which is a lot more, I would say, diverse of a developer group than just people that understand Solidity, will have access to those resources. And you will see, like I said, a very natural progression of the growth of our developer community. Because it's really not like, you know, a lot of these other chains, whether it's like Flow or if it's Ethereum or whatever, you know, they create their own language. And then it's like, oh, well, you have to attract those developers to want to build on that network and learn that and then incentivize that. And we don't have that here. You know, it's not like, you know, we don't have a custom language. And that was done purposefully in order to make it easier and more accessible to the larger community of developers that aren't necessarily just building in Web3. So I think that's something that's really unique and powerful about what we have going on here at Constellation the network, with the Hypergraph network. And so I think that, that's going to be one of the major differences.
Yeah, everybody needs to remember that this is, at the end of the day, it's going to be an open source platform. And because it is like a Java-based system, it's going to be pretty easy. Not only that, but everybody that I've talked to that is working on state channels, one of the things that sort of has blown them away is the fact that like 80% of the work is already done with the state channel. It's like, it's already there. All you need to do is just plug in whatever sort of unique data types you want, and then you're off to the races.
Something funny about that. We were in a meeting with my CTO and with someone on the team, and my CTO, I just remember his name's Tim. He's a phenomenally smart guy, you know, expecting something really complex with, you know, the complexity of the Hypergraph and how much more functional it is compared to other existing blockchain solutions, even though it's not a blockchain, but we call it a blockchain, is he was shocked. He's like, wow, this is actually really quite simple. And I remember the person we were in the meeting with was just like, yeah, it's just, that's it. Like it's to Dagno's point. Yeah. It's about 80% done for you. And you do just plug in your custom validation criteria or data types that you'd like to validate. And then you're kind of off to the races there.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I see it too. I mean, basically the whole idea, and it's like why it says all the time is, you know, he basically created a way to like abstract all the like complexity that you would expect if you're to try to build some of these more complex, you know, systems and onboard these real world businesses into like a typical blockchain, because essentially what you're doing is it's like a framework, right? So, but it's a framework that's generic. It doesn't really have any explicit dependencies that you would see with like, you know, other networks that may claim that they're, you know, layer zero, or even just like, you know, like Tendermint, for example, and stuff like that, where there's like explicit things that you need to do in order for it to work. Where in here, basically the idea is you're essentially like copying and pasting instead of just like, okay, if you look at Ethereum, people copy and paste smart contract code all the time, right? And just spin up like a basically like a knockoff version of some existing concepts and DeFi exchange or whatever. you know, rinse and repeat. Now imagine if you could do that, but with an entire protocol, like, and it doesn't have a dependency on like the specific data types or like any restrictions on the data types that, so like, there's no like virtual machine that is like globally distributed and that you have to comply with. So you're basically just have this like framework. You, what I would like the way that it would work basically is you would copy like the DAG L1, and that has all the like the consensus like logic, all the libraries, all the frameworks and everything. And then there's just a certain like schemas that you would define for your specific data type. So like what you'd want to pipe into the state channel. And then once that data is being piped in, essentially you're like taking it off chain, right? And piping it in. And then you would then configure like specific like validation steps of like what needs to occur on what data type, how and when, right? So that, you know, what's being notarized within the local kind of state channel network of validator nodes, and then what gets bundled up into the global state, right? And the magic there is like, it's all, it doesn't matter what it is. So it's just like arbitrary data that you've done your logic and applied your decentralized logic or centralized logic, depends on your use case, right? And then that all that gets bundled up, put into the global L0, the Constellation network itself, the hypergraph, and then all of that can be, you know, queried according to, you know, your specific rules, like as a state channel, like what you want to actually be what's called being deserialized from the network. So it really is like copying, pasting a protocol essentially. And then you would just change, I don't know, like 20-30%, you know, whatever data types you need validated. And it's, again, there's no like real dependencies. So it's just a very different approach. And I can see why Tim was like, kind of like, he had this one expectation. And then when he started digging in, he's like, wait, what? I don't have to do like, I could just, all this shit's like abstracted away from me. Like that's the magic.
Yeah. He had the biggest smile on his face in that moment. Like, no way. He's like, this is actually quite, because for him that meant less work, right? You know, less complexity, less having to figure out how to accurately do what needs to be done here. So he was very happy to see that it was actually not complex at all and actually quite simple.
But the complex part is that now you have way more possibilities.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, okay, I need to figure out my business model. I need to align that with the architecture on my back end. And then I need to figure out, okay, how do I monetize, you know, or how do I provide rewards, right, to incentivize validators and all that, you know, because you're creating your own network essentially, right? But that's the whole point. That's how you can scale out like a distributed application. You essentially empower it to be its own network. And it can then interoperate through a globalized network because of the layers of abstraction that's occurring. So like, you know, but this is what needs to happen, right? For Web3 to actually be realized is you need existing business paradigms to be able to be integrated in their current form and then modified or, you know, adapted into this interface. And this is what, you know, again, if watch the hypergraph hours, they refer to it as like the global interpreter or the global interface or agnostic global API or whatever. Essentially, you're able to then plug whatever you need to into it the way that you need to. And, you know, all that logic is validated, you know, and then interoperated with between, you know, whatever you need to, like other state channels or so on and so forth. So.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that part, that, and it's a massive part, is lost on a lot of people, that each state channel is its own network, right? The hypergraph layer zero is just allowing anybody to you know, deploy their own network, their own. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a network too. Like if you're just, you have some very specific small use case as like a solo developer and you just want to like notarize shit on the Hypergraph directly, like that is a configuration that's possible. So it's not like it's forcing you into a specific configuration. It's letting you decide. You have the freedom to actually decide. And then that, then you just need to put in the proper consideration there. It's like, okay, what level of like decentralization do I need at what layer? And like, how many, do I need more than one layer? Like within my state channel, which is a possibility. Maybe I'm just like have one device and I just want to, for my own dev purposes, I want to submit arbitrary data up into the Hypergraph directly to like notarize it and validate it. That's possible. So the way I look at it, it'll probably like as a developer, you'd probably like do it in stages. You'd like start small, define the scope of what you actually want to accomplish, and then like roll that out in stages. And then going back to way earlier in this conversation, the idea about the test net and having a public test net is one way to do that, right? So you have like maybe a local test net on a couple of local computers at home or in the cloud or whatever. You're testing out building, and they're like, okay, I'm ready to start benchmarking and like kind of like scaling this out and see how this actually works at scale. And then that's where like the test net comes in. And then you start using the test net to really refine that, figure out how much validation throughput you actually need, maybe form some sort of models or estimates about like, okay, maybe I can project this out. Like if I add this feature, how much validation throughput will I need versus this feature? And then, you know, and figure those calculations out and then just build it out. This is how like any real world enterprise works, right? Like whether today it's in the cloud, right? You're using AWS or Azure or whatever. And essentially it's the same thing. It's like DevOps. You're figuring out how to deploy your business in some sort of infrastructure that scales, right? And then it's the same paradigm. It's just, you know, I think Node Army is going to be huge, Node Garage, all these, they're going to help facilitate that, make that a little easier to like locate and identify like node operators and all that. So that'll be important. But otherwise, it's like it's the same thing. It's just applying it into a decentrally owned infrastructure, right? Compute infrastructure. Yeah. Sorry for going on a rant.
No. It's good. It's good to just sort of hammer in, you know, and talk about it, because it's important for us to distinguish like what is super unique about this network versus some other directed acyclic graphs. But again, so if anybody had any questions, feel free to request. Eric and Seth, if you see those requests, just approve them. I'm, for whatever reason, I'm not seeing them.
I'm not seeing anything recent.
Yeah. So just, we got somebody up in here, the club. What's happening, David? Refresh, the room a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe some people don't realize that you can't talk through the computer.
Yeah. So you have to be on your phone to be able to speak. You can listen on the computer, but if you want to come up and talk, you have to be on your phone. But yeah, go ahead and request, maybe do a little bit of a room reset. I don't know what your guys' time looks like, Eric and Seth, but
I gotta bounce, you know, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have about 5 minutes left personally.
Maybe we just wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. It's been a great hour. I think we answered a lot of important questions surrounding the mainnet and the rollout, why it's being done the way it is, and then even got into some additional stuff too. So I think this is a very helpful, important call for us all as a community to get on the same page with how this is kind of going to work and why it's why things are happening the way they are for the sake of the network and therefore everyone else. So I think this is a really good chat here.
Yeah. And, you know, just to hammer in again, because I think most of the people here are here for rewards, is rewards aren't going to stop. Everybody is going to get rewards the entire time through this rollout. So just sit back, relax, and let the process unfold, because it's all about the health of the network and the health of the ecosystem.
Amen. All right, y'all. I got to bounce. This has been a great chat with you gents, as always. Tim, good hearing from you. Phil, good hearing from you, and everyone else. Tony, everyone, all the familiar faces. Eli, my homie. Seth, obviously, can't thank you enough. You guys, this guy Seth, if you don't follow him, you have no idea. This man's doing a lot in order to help get to the places where we need to be. So big shout out to Seth and everyone involved making this happen. So with that, I will bid my farewell, and I hope you all have a great rest of your Sunday, if it's Sunday by you, and happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. I love the mamas.
All right. All right, everybody, take it easy.
See you guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the HGTP Mainnet 2.0 Rollout FAQ, DAG Nodes, hosted by Dagnum PI, the Constellation Network, recorded on Sunday, May 8th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all erect with the dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next bill. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal hit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth. Slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa, can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the Safe Moon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, I was looking at the TikTok, I remember a time.
And
Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
turbines. Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys. I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate. Terra Spaces.